Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
It's the NFL Draft first round.
Wait till you see my mock draft drops. Let's just say that.
That's called a tease.
Yeah. Hey, Reggie Bush got his Heisman back.
Oh, who cares?
Mike Danger.
We listeners are truly listening to a powerhouse sports show. Next, I'm going to do 20 minutes of fart jokes.
Gene Battaglia.
Listen, we can interview a Hall of Fame level agent. We can talk to a head coach. We can talk to an info guy. And Mike Danger can tell a fart joke and I can gossip.
That's so, right. Yeah. We're going to do all of that.
My high school girlfriend came from Rochester, so always had a warm spot for it.
We're very provincial in this town.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Lindy.
Amherst Crunch, Friday at 7.
Playoffs.
Certainly expect it to be a sellout both games this weekend. Knowing now from the last 2 years, the electricity and what this place does at playoff time is pretty special, and I'm excited for it.
Can we get a go Amherst, like go Bills?
I would like it to be safe as death.
What do you mean?
Don't look behind you.
The Amherst coming.
95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan. Rochester.
Is Rochester the Kevin Bacon of American cities?
I think it is.
It is.
I think it is.
It is.
We're about 15 minutes away from the conductor of the wide receiver train, WGR's Jeremy White, will be stopping by the sports bar to talk some Bills NFL draft, Gino. And we appreciate everybody stopping by and checking us out at 95.7 FM, AM 950, the free to download Odyssey app or our video stream on our YouTube channel, The Fan Rochester. Also on Twitch and your smart device when you ask it to play 95.7 The Fan. Smoke screens come in a wide variety of forms in the world that we live in now. It used to be a GM just openly lying, right? Just saying something that isn't actually true, or knowing that they're not going to do what they say they're going to do. I wanted to present this to you and just kind of like, when you see it, you know, a lot of people will view it and be like, wow, that's really good data that Adam Schefter is sharing with us today. I don't know if you saw this cross your feed or not. It's a chart.
Yes.
That projects, they call it the hit rate by position of first round draft picks. And, you know, all the linemen are up there up at the top, and down there at the very bottom, the lowest hit rate is wide receiver. Now, how do they determine what a hit is on this graph? They determine it by the player's signability, for the player signing a deal, a second deal with the team that drafted them, which is such a flawed metric for this argument. In this argument, in with this data, then you would view Daniel Jones as a hit at quarterback. Is anybody really calling Daniel Jones a hit at quarterback? And my lasting impression of it is there's an NFL GM who wants to draft a wide receiver who put this out to Adam Schefter to share with the world today. Smokescreen.
It's funny. Like, to me, that's number two on the list. To me, number one, everybody jumped on this. Did you see this from Get Up this morning? And maybe this is Greenberg. Yo, this is a mandate. Hey, you have to talk about ESPN Bet. Okay. Ah. So bringing up to Adam Schefter that ESPN Bet, the odds have shifted about the Chargers trading Justin Herbert. Huh? Yeah, like, honestly, and Schefter just completely shuts this down immediately. Yeah. Like, he said, no, I'm going to throw cold water on that, and to a lot of people online saying, no, you should throw cold water on Greenberg for asking that, too.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, this is crazy at this point. I got this. You can write to Danger at AKA Mike Danger. I'm at Gene Battaglia. You can write to us on X, The Fan Rochester. Matt writing in with us a simple question. Gene, are you doing a mock draft? No, we're not doing a mock draft, Matt. I honestly, like in print form, online, that makes sense. It's just too long. And let's be honest, there's some things that some teams that you just don't care about. OK, so to go through that whole exercise to me is not good radio.
Well, here's where I'm at with it, Matt. And I appreciate you asking and or even thinking that Gene or I can do a mock draft that you would view as credible or something that you would actually be interested in. That's humbling. But if it was my full-time job, like if this, what we do here every day, like if I was that immersed in it, if I was Jeremy White, yes, I would do a mock draft. Sal Capaccio did his one mock draft today.
Yeah. But I think he is pointing to people, hey, go on the website and do the mock. I'm going to just take a piece here. Okay.
Go ahead.
And that would be the Patriots. And look, if the Patriots, they're kind of dead, right? It's kind of funny we're pointing at them. And yes, I know they Bills lost them last year, but let's be real. They're picking third overall. But if they're going to have some sort of resurrection, right? Well, then it's got to start tomorrow night. Like, pick the right quarterback, plain and simple. Or is it plain and simple? Number three, is it really, Danger, a good spot? Look, I'm not putting this in the prism of the number three overall pick, but rather the third quarterback taken in each of the last 10 drafts.
Oh, this is going to be good.
Yeah. So,
but we should keep in mind, like I love these exercises and we say it all the time, like quarterbacks succeed based on where they go and what's put around them and all of these other factors. But you have a trend here that's pretty indisputable.
Yeah. Well, it's going to shine a light on this because I think we can assume with the odd shift, by the way, that Daniels is going to go to Washington at 2. So do the Patriots want to take Drake May? Do they want to take McCarthy? Here's the history here. And again, it's not the pick 3 overall. It's just the third quarterback taken. Last year was Anthony Richardson. And look, he showed some ability and then he got hurt, which if you're not on the field, then you're not doing anything. So that's an incomplete. Malik Willis. That doesn't seem like that long ago where Malik Willis, oh my gosh, he's going to go number 2 overall. Yeah.
Malik Willis feels like what led to the rift inside the Titans organization. Any dysfunction that existed between GM and head coach, I would probably put squarely on their selection of Malik Willis, somebody that I'm sure Vrabel didn't want and somebody that the GM did want.
Yeah, if you are one of these teams picking at the top, when was the last time we had quarterbacks go 1-2-3? You got to go back to 2021 where you had Trevor Lawrence. Okay. Well, Zach Wilson. And then did you forget who moved up to number 3? Trey Lance.
Yeah.
Oh, back up in the league. Okay, Justin Herbert, that's a hit.
Yep.
Dwayne Haskins. Nope. He's not even on this planet anymore. Yep. Rest in peace. Josh Allen.
All right, that's a hit.
Deshaun Watson.
I mean, he did sign a second contract with his team, so I guess that's a hit, right?
Yeah. Do we call Deshaun Watson a hit? That's the one I'm kind of wavering on.
I think so.
Yeah, I'll give that, but I don't feel great about it right now. Paxton Lynch.
Yikes.
This is funny. I don't even know who this guy is. In 2015, the Saints took some guy named Garrett Grayson.
That was the third quarterback off the board?
Yes. Honest to God, Danger. Wow. That was just a bad quarterback draft. And then you had Teddy Bridgewater.
Okay.
Look, so if you go over that, two franchise guys, one that's being paid like a franchise guy today and Watson, and you're too soon to tell on Richardson. Based on this, what is that? Somewhere between 30 and 40% the hit rate? Look, the Patriots, here's the take. They'd actually be better off getting out of 3. Let someone else take the risk and load up in other places. That's why this report from the Boston Herald, where they say, we haven't gotten a serious offer. Oh, they've gotten serious offers. They're just asking everybody else, hey, you know what they say in sales? Sharpen the pencil, boys. Sharpen the pencil. I'm predicting the Patriots move out of 3 tomorrow night.
Okay. That's what Mr. Mayo is going to want to do?
You're never going to let me forget that.
It's the best. We've got a full season ahead of us of the,
Mr. Mayo.
The Bills looking down at Mr. Mayo and his team that he's coaching. Jared Mayo. I'm sorry, Gerard. I'm sorry, Mr. Mayo.
Mr. Mayo. Well, the story, I called him Jared, and he corrected me, and then he does the interview, and in my panic and in my own neurosis, I couldn't remember what I said wrong and what was correct, and I had no choice but to thank him as Mr. Mayo.
21, 22 years old probably at the time.
I know. Yeah. I'm calling him Mr. Mayo.
Thank you, Mr. Mayo.
Mr. Mayo.
Thank you for not crushing my skull for mispronouncing your first name. How about this? I'm going to need a verdict here. This might be a new way to strike up a conversation, and maybe it's just me too immersed in NFL draft talk. How about breaking the ice by asking what someone's 40 time is? You know, I'm making it up, but you know, saying you run like a 4.940 feels like something that would earn you immediate respect in certain circles. I need a verdict on this.
Joey Whalen's coming tomorrow.
Yeah.
So like you can ask him.
Do you think Joey starts his conversation by, you know, like as an icebreaker by saying that he, you know, can run marathons and, you know, sub 2.5 hours? What's his per mile? He's like sub 5 minute
like,
mile.
He was explaining to me what it's like as a professional for the Boston Marathon. Like you're in like a different class.
Yeah.
You get treated, you get seated.
Yeah.
You're, I don't want to say pampered, but you're not the peasantry. They're just kind of lining up and
you're
going.
An actual professional athlete.
Yeah.
We get you know, what's great about events that happen throughout the course of the year here. Like the run into the green is you get to compete with professional athletes. Like Joey Whalen just crushes the field, shows up and runs it in this ridiculous pace. I don't know. I feel like, you know, at least maybe for the next couple of days or certainly next year, when we get back to combine season, you start, you know, breaking the ice by giving your 40 time. It feels like that might be a way to set a tone.
I would think that me and like everybody else wouldn't have any clue what my 40 time was.
Well, let's get to it. We can find a field. And maybe this is one of our activities during training camp this year. We get on the field at Grani Stadium when we see Bill Staffers working out all the time. We just do a 40-yard sprint. Let's time each other and see how we do. We need to make it part of our byline, you know.
Mike Danger, Derek, everybody.
Yeah, Mike Danger, 4.940. You know,
I'd be like 6-something.
I'd be like Mike Danger, 5'10", 185 pounds. Runs a 5.440, you know, like that's our stat line going into every show. You know, we got to make sure.
See, darn it. Now I'm going to want to like go to a turf field and actually try this out.
Of course. Why not? Hope we don't die. 40 yards, you know, at your very fastest feels like it might put us out. But, you know, why not? Let's give it a shot.
So the Bears tomorrow night are picking number one overall. Fans are going to be so excited. This is like the high point since when? Honestly, since they were in the Super Bowl, the NFC Championship, maybe.
It's the biggest moment of hope I think we've had in some time.
Okay, what a perfect time, because the wallet might be open. Let's go make the ask right now. Danger is the Chicago Bears put out a new video touting the Dome Stadium. Wow, I'm like, let's take a look here. Let's see what this is all about. Oh, you got to be kidding me. Lakefront Legacy is the name of the video. Bullet point number one, revitalizing Chicago's lakefront. I had no idea what that had to do with sight lines or anything. They show boat slip parking for the dome. That works great in November, maybe even October, you know, in Chicago. Give me a break. Oh, we're only getting started here, folks. Bullet point number two, a community-centric design. Shows a freaking baseball diamond. You know, I shouldn't.
They play softball, that big softball. They have leagues all over Chicago.
How many times have I gone to a Bills game and thought, you know, me and the guys will love to play a little softball out here before the game?
You sound like you're jealous right now.
No, I'm only getting started.
When
here,
was the
Danger.
Last time you saw drone footage, aerial view, or any sort of virtual tour of the new Bills Stadium? I think you're jealous right now.
Yeah, well, no, okay. Here's number three. Okay, and this is true not just for Chicago, but everyone. Enhance lakefront pathway for bikes and pedestrians.
Gotta have it.
Again, like, haven't you always wanted to ride your bike to a Bills game? Like, honestly, like, you're talking to some lawmaker that, oh my gosh, we're gonna build a bike path here. Bullet point number four. This is my favorite. Strengthens synergies with the museums.
Yep.
What the F does that even mean? What does that even mean, Danger?
I know what it means. Okay, you've never been there. I have. I know this area. I know what they're doing here, and I see what they're doing. And this is why I'm excited about it. Now, not everything that they did today I'm going to approve of. I'm going to explain in a second. But they did give you a really, really good job of laying out. If you're in Chicago, I have to imagine you see this and you're like, oh my God, this, I mean, they're going to keep the column odd, the columns of Soldier Field. They stay there. Soldier Field comes down and basically everything where Soldier Field was becomes this green space that we're talking about mm-hmm. where there's fields and there's pathways and it's all along the lake. And the lake is that part of the area there with the lake is beautiful. The museums are there, but they're disconnected. Like it's not easy to get to them, but this kind of connects them all together, makes them all kind of like within walking distance of each other instead of kind of disconnected on their own little islands like they are right now. I see what they're doing. And then, of course, we haven't even talked about the stadium. I mean, when they show the stadium and what it could look like inside for not just Bear games, but also, and they didn't even hold back, the Big Ten Championship, yeah. The Final Four concerts. Man, I saw it. I'm like, Indianapolis, stay down. You are no longer going to be considered the premier hosting venue in the Midwest. It will now be Chicago moving forward. You don't have this kind of wealth and this kind of venue. We're going to go ahead and build this palace and take all of your events away from you. That's the way I saw it.
Maybe. You got to get like there. This is the ask now.
The thing that I didn't like, the thing that I thought was ridiculous, and the thing that's actually kind of offensive, they had a pastor speaking at their press conference. You're basically asking God to help you build a stadium. A stadium that you're going to fleece the public with in order to make billionaires more rich. That part is disgusting. That part is shameful and disgusting. Could you imagine the Pagulas bringing a pastor up as they're talking about breaking ground at New Highmark Stadium, asking for a prayer?
Who's the bishop in Rochester these days? I don't even know.
Like, oh, my God.
Wow. Should we feed the poor? Should we help our schools? I'm the pastor. No, we need football.
Yeah, and half of this is going to be paid by you.
Oh, my gosh.
And none of it, when it's all said and done, will be paid by the Bears. But let's bring up a pastor to pray for this to happen. Disgusting. Disgust. That part is sick. And gross. But I tell you, the renderings, and they say in the actual video of the drone footage, renderings are subject to change. As we always note, the renderings never look like.
Never, ever.
But it was pretty damn impressive and got me excited. And of course, I'm already like thinking, all right, when are they going to make this? When is this going to be done? When can I get there to check it all out? It'll be a good time.
Gosh, I'm in tears. We got to get to Jeremy White before we do that. Deanna writing in, Gene, you and Danger should run the 40-yard dash for charity like Eisen.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I would do that.
Yeah. So I'm like, hey, opportunity.
We'll find our charity of choice here, and we'll do it. I'm all for it. And I'm not going to say that I'm faster than Gene or Gene's faster than me. I'm just going to say, you know, I want as good a time as I can possibly put forth. And then we look for improvement year by year. We try to get better every year. We're not getting worse. We're getting better every
year. Coach Danger, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right. Jeremy White joins us next. We'll talk plenty of Buffalo Bills draft as the conductor of the wide receiver train stops by the sports bar and your phone calls as well at 866-4FAN, 585-866-4326.
You're listening to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan, Rochester.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Fan Rochester Sports Update.
We're down to one day away from the NFL Draft. The Bills at pick 28. For now, Jeremy White, WGR, joining us next here in the Sports Bar, talking some Buffalo Bills. The playoffs begin for the Amherst on Friday. It's game one. Head coach Seth Appert on getting ready for Syracuse.
The way we scout is we show our players threats and opportunities. We show them what are the threats. What does Syracuse do really well that's threatening to us? And then what are our opportunities? What do we think we can exploit? And that's kind of the way we attack a pre-scout.
Coverage here on The Fan begins Friday night at 7. The Rochester Red Wings continuing their series tonight in St. Paul, Minnesota. On the Major League scoreboard, Francisco Lindor homering. The Mets leading in San Francisco 2-0. The Cardinals beating Arizona 5-1. Yankees host Oakland tonight. Gene Battaglia, the sports leader. The Fan Rochester.
Top Shelf Sports Talk. You're hanging out in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan, Rochester.
If the Bills take 28 and 60, they could get to number
17, right? Isn't that what we said?
17, 16,
somewhere in there?
17, 18. Jacksonville, Cincinnati. Now they could go up and talk to Seattle, but they might have to throw in a fifth.
And they may have to because
they might have to
a couple of AFC teams may have no interest in helping the Bills.
They could throw in a fifth round, the one, the two, and the five, and a five-rounder, and they could get up there and do that, yes.
There's Brownie and Tasker earlier today on One Bills Live talking about a path for the Bills to trade up in round one of tomorrow night's NFL draft. We now welcome in the conductor of the wide receiver train. And Jeremy, I know that Gene is going to present, he's going to present some opposition. I'm fully expecting the train to run him over and squash him like a bug. Jeremy White, WGR, stopping by the sports bar. Bud, I feel like we're all in the same boat here. We've scorched the earth with every possible scenario, every potential player that could end up with the Buffalo Bills. And when it all comes down to it, I don't know that any of us know anything, but you seem very confident that it will be a wide receiver for the Buffalo Bills early in this draft.
Yeah, right. It's a lot of lead up to this. It feels like, I don't know, it feels like an election night, or it feels like you've got a big speech tomorrow, or we're all waiting. It's like the Super Bowl of the off season, right? We're all hoping it goes a certain way, and you know, we all want the Bills to get better, but yeah, it has to be receiver. If it's not receiver in the first round, then the Bills are going to be even more desperate in the second round, so I don't think they want to get that desperate in the second. I think Brandon Bean won't mess around, and he'll take someone, whether it's a 28 or a move up. He loves to move up. I'm feeling like, you know, depending on the board falls, he's going in tomorrow looking to get one.
But Jeremy, here's counterpoint number one. I'm like an attorney presenting this to you. You do that, and I think you're only coming away with, well, if you're lucky, one star. I want at least two starters on this team. And by starter, okay, I mean a guy that maybe rotates in on the defensive line, or maybe it's a safety that can compete there, because the guys you have back there, I think you could upgrade. So if you're going to lay out what is the dream scenario for the Buffalo Bills in this draft, would it not be two starters, and would it not be pick 28, best player on the board, and then in the second round, if you didn't go wide receiver, then you still can get that guy in the second round at wideout?
Yeah, I mean, there are many different paths to get there. I mean, if they went with the 28th pick, if they went Xavier Legette, I'd be fine, or A.D. Mitchell is another idea. Xavier Worthy all of a sudden is like moving on boards big time, and maybe he's the pick at 28. So, you know, you get a receiver there, and then, you know, in the second round, however the board falls, that might be another receiver. It might be a defensive end, a defensive tackle. I do feel like it's kind of cheating to tell me you want a starter and then tell me he's going to rotate in, though, while we're at it. You know, a rotational defensive line piece. Let's talk about how one of the guys they lost was Gabe Davis, who played like 90% of snaps. And all the defensive ends they ever draft peak at what, 60, 55? Like, they spend so much on their defensive line just to cycle them in and out nonstop. And the defensive ends have four different guys that have played before at receiver. I'm on Shakir and Curtis Samuel. So you want two starters, I might want two starters at receiver.
Okay, you know? So maybe if we just look at this, maybe I'm just cautioning you and everybody else that Brandon Bean values positions differently than you and Danger and a lot of other people. We say wide receiver. There's been other drafts, Jeremy, where I've said, oh, they're going to go wide receiver on day two, and then they don't, and then you're wondering what happened. And then time after time after time, you see these high picks for a defensive lineman. Jeremy, will your head explode if the pick ends up being Chop Robinson at 28?
No, Chop Robinson, I would not explode. We call those previous drafts mistakes. They made a mistake when they drafted James Cook in the second round, trading down twice and then taking James Cook. The reason is they probably should have traded up and got one of those receivers to mix in. Like, part of the reason we are all here talking about this so desperately is that the Bills have decided to just let this bill go unpaid for years. Two playoff games ago, Cole Beasley and John Brown off the street to help this position. That was a problem. That was not okay. Jake Kumerow is your number one depth boundary receiver when Gabe Davis is out. That is not okay. Like, this has been 3 years of them being really undermanned at the position, and then they traded Diggs. So, like, the model before was, we've got Diggs, and whoever else we throw out there will be fine. And now there's nobody to cover like that. Samuel looks nice. Shakir is a nice find. I think they've got the middle of the field good to go. Like, between those two guys and Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox, like, the middle of the field are going to be fine. But if you don't have any threats on the outside, then guess what defenses are going to do? I mean, they're just going to go ahead and single those guys on the outside and focus everything on the middle. And your offense is going to be in real trouble. So, I mean, my head won't explode at Chop Robinson. He's probably a good player, and that's fine. It just, now I've got 32 picks until my next wide receiver, which means I'll be trading up out of number 60, because I don't think they can afford to wait that long. And, you know, the other thing that is tough about this is whatever ends up happening, we don't ever get to know it. It doesn't mean that's what the Bills wanted to happen. You know, they could say that they did the best they could and that they followed their board. But Brandon Bean, he gave a lot. He revealed a lot when talking to his presser last week, saying the reason he trades up one spot, two spots, is because he likes to go to bed Thursday night with the guy that he wanted. And if he trades down, he's now got to sleep on that and wonder what's going to happen with the board. And if he takes a guy 28th and it's a defensive end, that's fine. He'll have that guy that he wants. But he'll have to sleep and spend the night knowing, I still need a receiver desperately. And to move up from that second-round pick at 60, maybe that Minnesota pick they have next year in the second round, maybe that becomes the ammunition to get them from, you know, 60 to 40 or whatever it is. But they cannot come out of this draft without a receiver. They might value positions differently than we do. If they value receiver much more differently than we do, then they value it less than the league. It is the second most important position. And Josh Allen needs help out there. So, you know, I'm confident, no pressure. Just make sure they get it done.
Oh, Jeremy, he also mentioned in his press conference yesterday that he remembered being in Carolina and not having a first-round draft pick. Now, my eyes get wide when we talk about wide receiver in this class specifically, and there's one player in particular that feels like he's not out of reach, and if he were to be selected by the Buffalo Bills, he could eventually be more than what the team had in Stephon Diggs, and that player is Rome Odunze. I just can't get out of my head the idea that the Bills could give up a little bit more, including maybe potentially a first-round pick next year, to get to a spot where they end up taking the Washington wide receiver. Where are you at on that kind of wild swing from Brandon Bean tomorrow night?
Well, that's where I think that second rounder they got from Minnesota in the Diggs trade is kind of key. He said, I don't love giving up first, but if it makes sense, we will. So that lays the groundwork for, you know, not ruling it out. And he also talked about trading for future picks and how they're valued if they're from perennial playoff teams. And of course, he wasn't speaking about his own team, but his own team is a perennial playoff team. Their first round pick next year is going to be where? 26th or later.
Yeah.
And they have 2 seconds, one belonging to Minnesota, who is going to be starting a rookie quarterback. So, you know, I know it doesn't always work to say, well, we already have, you know, capital there. That means we can spend it. Not everyone subscribes to that, and I understand that. But there are trading first round picks, and then there's trading first round picks. And sometimes I think the blanket statements about how it's always wrong and always bad, they're probably right. But, you know, it's not crazy to me to say that the Bills are in a position where we can't really be process oriented anymore. It has to be results based. Process says this team is the best team in football the last 4 years. They have more wins than anybody in the regular season. They're consistently winning their division, making the playoffs, getting to a certain level and hitting their head. So process works to this point, and we all know if they did that for another 10 years, we would consider the process to have failed. So it's about pushing in and doing whatever you can, maybe breaking a little process, taking a couple of gambles here or there to make sure you do everything you can to get yourself the best chance at better results.
Yeah, Jeremy White, WGR, our guest here in the Sports Bar. One thing we kind of did learn last week, I didn't know this, that when Kincaid was selected before that, it was actually Josh Allen supposedly texting Brandon Bean. Jeremy, I kind of like that. And if he was doing that last year, I would have to think that Josh Allen is doing that again this year. Here's my question, because now with Diggs out of the picture, I mean, this, if there was any question before, Josh Allen, how can he develop as the true alpha in this offense? And I would think, I would hope he's got some say as far as, you know, who the Bills should take here.
Me too. And I found it really interesting. He was on a podcast, maybe with Jordan Palmer, the QB Room, one of those podcasts recently. He rattled off 10 receivers' names off the top of his head. So he's keyed in on the draft. He talked about their combine performances. He talked about Xavier Leggett's accent. Like, Josh Allen is on the wide receiver train. He's paying attention to all these receivers very closely. And I don't know that he's doing that for defensive tackles or defensive ends. I mean, you know, he's not exactly going to say do this or else, but you know how it goes. If your star quarterback, you think he needs an A1 out there to run with for a couple of years, and you think the player is the right kind of guy for that, then you make sure you get it done. The Julio Jones trade versus the Sammy Watkins trade, like, right? These are two big wide receiver trades that have happened where a team gave up a future first. In the Julio Jones case, the Falcons gave up a ton. They had a quarterback they knew was great, and they could have Julio for his entire career, and they did that. And for EJ and the Bills, I mean, we all live that one, they gave up a future first to move up 5 spots, which is absurd. And they did it for a quarterback that they were hoping would prove to be worth it. And then EJ Manuel played all of 4 games with Sammy Watkins, and it was over. So I don't think it's the same when you're having a trade for a receiver, when you know the guy slinging him the ball is going to put this guy in the best possible position on day one. So it's one of the reasons I think it actually is more worth it to move up. But I don't think it's move up or bust. I don't. I'm just ready to defend the Bills if they do it.
Jeremy, do you have a guy that they can't leave Detroit without? And I'll explain. My guy is Ladd McConkey, because if you can't go up and get a superstar that we know is, you know, projects very well for the NFL, like an Adunze and some of these other guys like a Thomas or somebody goes before the Bills are able to make a move, and you know, you could be good with Ladd McConkey. I don't want them leaving Detroit without that player. Who's your guy?
Well, it's funny. Like, I think if they could pick any person from the receiver group, I think they would come out with Adunze. That's I think might be like their number one guy. Mm-hmm. But if we're talking in the 28 range, my favorite idea at 28 is Xavier Leggett. Leggett is speed, yards after catch, size, power. He is, you know, an A.J. Brown-ish kind of receiver. The biggest knock on him, you know, every one of these guys past the big three has knocks, but the biggest knock on him is that he only became awesome this past year. And to me, that's not really a red flag. Like, Ladd McConkey doesn't really have a lot of the he was awesome. He didn't have huge production. He just looks like a really nice player. So I'm not upset about Ladd McConkey if that's it. I'm not upset about Xavier Worthy. I've been warming up to that idea. As people kind of break down just the number of ways he can be used and how traditional receiver roles are not what they once were. So, I mean, I would say Leggett. Like, if it comes down to it and they are picking wide receiver 5 or waiting for wide receiver 13, I'm going to be upset, and I'm going to think about Leggett as a guy they passed on.
Jeremy, I just keep on pointing out things just to caution. I'm almost like trying to counsel everybody if this doesn't go your way. Like your thoughts on the Bills' offense after that Denver Monday night game, because we all have talked about it. You've talked about it a ton, how there was this shift and how they had success with Diggs not really being the centerpiece. So if Diggs is out of the picture and you get somebody of, I don't know, your thoughts on what direction here this offense is headed based on how last year ended.
If they choose to look at those 8 games as their remedy, then we're all screwed. Because the 8 games, before that, there were 49 games of Stephon Diggs being pretty darn good. And Josh Allen threw more touchdowns to Stephon Diggs than any other quarterback to any other receiver. And they won 4 division titles. Like, to me, those 8 games, what really happened in those 8 games, the offense was responsible and the defense was much better. They only gave up a maximum of 22 points on that 6-game win streak down the stretch. But they still had to play close games. They did not blow out the Patriots. They did not blow out Easton Stick. And they beat Miami with a punt return touchdown. It's a big part of it. So the wins were nice. The offense, to me, I'll think about that Kansas City playoff loss forever, because it's a good example of execution versus how you're built and how you can perform. There are plenty of people to say that they lost to the Chiefs in that game, and the offense was great, and Allen played great, and they, you know, they held the ball, and they scored points. But what they really did was they operated all of those plays, all that whole game, without one single explosive play. And on 13 different 2nd and 4s, they ran it 10 times, 2nd and 4 or less. They ran 10 out of 13. And if they think that's the way to be the best version of themselves with Josh Allen, then they're wasting Josh Allen. I don't think that that's what they want. I sure hope that's not what they want. I can't allow myself to believe that's what they want. So if they took the lesson that we don't need a Diggs out of those 8 games, then I think they took the wrong lesson.
Jeremy, I want to make sure that we kind of cast a wide net while we have time with you and talk beyond wide receiver, because there are other needs on this team. We look at what's changing with the offensive line. We talked about defensive line, the pass rush, the edge rushers that the Bills are going to go into this offseason with. Certainly linebacker has to be a question when you have to look at the health of Matt Milano entering the season. And I know Gene over here is a big Cooper DeJean guy, so we can talk about the secondary as well. Which one of these areas do you think they address first? Do you think they address all of them at some point here through the next few days here over the course of the weekend at the draft? What's your take on every positional need outside of wide receiver?
I think that the defense gets a lot of attention, and as it should. I wouldn't be thinking about defensive back, at least not corner, in the first round in any circumstance, because right now they have 2 starting corners and a first rounder on the bench that they might want to reclaim in Kyer Elam. Maybe they can find their way forward with a new defensive coordinator and some new coaches. So a first-round corner immediately puts somebody on the bench. Like, is Bentford sitting? He can play. He's fine. And blocks Elam. I think that's diminishing returns if you draft a corner in the first round. Second round, even, I might include that as well. I bet they want to get younger at defensive end. So Chop Robinson's an idea. There was a little bit of time there. Lai Tulatu out of UCLA might have been it, because of medical conditions that might have dropped him down the board. Now he looks like he might go top 10. But I'm interested in defensive ends and defensive tackles. You know, I'll eat my vegetables. I'll take the fun. I'll take the guys that I need to on the defense, because I have a lot of faith in Sean McDermott in this department. You know, he gets criticized for the stuff he gets criticized for. But if they just stock him with 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th round picks for the rest of his career, I think he'd have a top 10 defense every year. He's really good. They're really good. It's part of their identity. So. Yeah, I mean, defensive end, defensive tackle, sure, linebacker, depending on Milano. Safety is a definite spot here. And being talked about that they don't really necessarily go for the most athletic safeties, but they maybe want smarter guys. And to me, that projects 3rd, 4th round. They're not going to be a team going for, like, the freak safety. They want the smart safety. So it all paves the way for a receiver, and then pretty much do whatever you want.
Jeremy, last one, and it's regarding Lindy Ruff here, because yesterday, like, I'm feeling good, getting nostalgic, emotion, and Danger's pointing out some things to me, and oh my gosh, did they do the right thing here? I mean, it certainly seems like Kevin Adams cut a corner here in the search.
Yeah, I think they probably did do the right thing. The only difference for me between Lindy and a Craig Berube, and I know Craig Berube won a Stanley Cup and Lindy didn't, but Lindy, you know, who's got the better resume? That's a good debate. The difference to me, Gallant, Boudreau, Ruff, let's say those are the three finalists. The only true difference is that I already have an opinion of Lindy and that I like him. You know, I don't know Gallant. I don't know Boudreau. I saw Boudreau on the 24/7 series however long ago. But Lindy will definitely do some PR for them, but he's doing it as the fifth winningest coach in NHL history who's gotten three different teams to the playoffs. So, you know, if this was bringing back somebody that you all – if this was bringing in Michael Pekka, to me, that's PR. He's never coached before, but people loved him. And that would have major concerns for me. Not to say Pekka won't be a good coach. He very well might be. But you want to say PR? I heard someone make the point. I thought it was a good one. That Lindy coming in is the toughest PR because they'll have people that doubt that they did it for the right reasons. And those doubts, I think, are legitimate. I just think that the resume is such that I'm not really worried about it. I'm fine with it. I say I'm fine with it, and then Lindy talked for 10 minutes, and I became thrilled with it, and I have to calm down because, you know, it's just it's nice to have him back. He holds court, and I think he makes people feel – I'll say, I mean, this is a one way to say it. No one will doubt for a single second how much this whole thing means to Lindy. You know, it's not just a job for him. It's not just a job. And for Boudreau and Gallant or Berube looking to get back in the league, I mean, Berube probably wants to go back to Philly and might have told them no because of that. So a guy that wants to be here, that only matters to me if the person that wants to be here is good. And in this case, I think this person is good, so it works for me.
Jeremy, we did hear him say a piece yesterday about accountability. We heard that word a lot during locker cleanout. We heard it a lot during Kevin Adams' press conference when they let go of Don Granato. And what I loved about what Lindy said was that it starts with the player, yet you have the player saying during locker cleanout, there's nobody holding us accountable. There's nobody holding, you know, we need accountability. Do you believe that this roster has the maturity to hold themselves accountable first and foremost before they hold each other accountable, before the coach has to hold them accountable?
I do. I think, you know, maybe a different standard or a different habits, different patterns. It was interesting to me that they had locker cleanout split over 2 days, and the group that went first had a lot about accountability and almost sounded to me like they were fresh out of their meeting with Kevin Adams and they were, you know, parroting what he wanted them to say.
Sure.
And then day two, it was a little different. So yet you had players on that team that love Granato and owe a lot of their money to his changes and things that he did for them. A lot of them made tens of millions of dollars. So I think they have a lot of respect for Don. And, you know, you can do that in any line of work. Think like, thank you, this boss, for bringing me along. But someone to push me would be good for me. I think that's a normal thing in a lot of sports and, you know, a lot of industries. So, yeah, I think Lindy is right for that reason. Maybe you wouldn't want Lindy coaching the youngest team in the league, but as soon as they wait 2 years and get a little older, even though they'll still be one of the youngest teams, I feel like this roster is more ready for that. Like a good example is when Bielsma was hired out of the tank years, that was the wrong coach at the wrong time. What if Granato got that team? Young, bring him along, keep him in the right mindset. He might have done better with those teams than Bielsma did, even though Bielsma is a Stanley Cup winning coach. So, right coach in the right moment. I hope Lindy is, and you know, I'm inclined to think he is.
All right, Jeremy, we'll be tuning in tomorrow, and I'm anxiously going to wait to hear you say, you know, I've kind of changed my opinion here. Maybe the Bills should go defense here in the first round, get the best wide receiver in the second.
Let's just draft another tight end and say, think of him as a receiver. We'll just do that.
I was going to say that they invested a first round pick in a pass catcher last year. Why would they do it 2 years in a row with a defensive minded head coach? What are we talking about here?
No, 2 years. It's 3 years in a row. James Cook was a running back. Think of him like a pass catcher.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Correct. Yeah.
We're not thinking of guys like things anymore. We're just going to do the thing you've been supposed to do for years.
Jeremy, it's great hearing your voice. Great catching up. Let's do it again soon, bud. Appreciate the time.
Anytime, guys.
Jeremy White, you can hear mornings on our Odyssey Sports sister station, WGR in Buffalo. Check it out in the free-to-download Odyssey app, AUDACY.
Yeah, where did he come down in the positional value? That's the thing. I can't, like, all these rumors about Brandon Bean, but he's never done it. And Jeremy said, to their detriment, and the fact that this is a very deep class. So what is the value of trading up and giving up future assets for the Dunze when you can just kind of wait around and get your guy at 28?
Yeah, I get that. I think that if you did go up and get a guy like a Dunze, that you've got a player now with a quarterback, by the way, that can be what you had in Diggs and potentially more down the road. That's the kind of player I think he is. It eliminates, I mean, man, to hear Jeremy rattle off the Jake Kumros and the John Browns and the Cole Beasleys, and looking back, it's like, wow, they really didn't put any sort of value at all on that position. You know, you bring in Steph Diggs, and that eats up so much of your quote-unquote positional value that you really don't have anything to put around him except for Gabe Davis, a guy that you got in the late round, right? So I can't wait, man. This is going to be a fun, fun night. It's going to be so interesting to see how the board falls, if it falls the Bills' favor, and if they're able to do something remarkable tomorrow night.
Yeah, and for the record, I'm somebody who's looking at my phone. I know some people like to watch NFL Network or ESPN, ABC, or wherever it is, and let the TV kind of present it to you, but I need to know right now. I need the picks coming to me.
Not me, pal. I will be when we're done at Three Heads tomorrow. You know, we'll stick around a little bit after 6 o'clock, have a couple of pops, and chop it up with our regulars who decide to come out and see us tomorrow afternoon from 3 until 6 at Three Heads and on Atlantic Avenue. I will be eating my feelings with the TV on and a nice warm garbage plate on my TV tray. I'll be watching the remainder of the first round and waiting to see how it all falls for the Buffalo Bills late there in the first round. What are we saying here? Probably like 11:30, 11:20-ish, around there, probably. Yeah. By the time the Bills are picking, if they stay at 28. We'll get to happy hour next in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Lots to unpack there from our conversation with Jeremy White. We can go back and talk about Joe Yurden, Bleacher Report. We can talk about who your guy is. Who's the guy that you have? I mean, we got Leggett. That's Jeremy's guy. Yeah. He wants Leggett. My guy is like, don't leave without McConkey. If you can't get Odunze, I get it. Too rich for your blood? Fine, but don't leave without McConkey. Who's your guy? We'd love to hear it at 866-4326. 585-866-4FAN.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On 95.7 oh, yeah. FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.